It's a great morning to be with you again and appreciate everybody's attendance today. We want to take a look at the lesson from God's Word and continue this idea of abundant life. You'll notice when I get on a subject, sometimes I'll have several lessons about it because I certainly don't want to belabor you with the whole lesson at one time. And we might be here a long time. And sometimes there are just things that I think are good to talk about and go through in more detail than what might allow for a shorter lesson. For your benefit and mine as well, I have another lesson today presenting about the abundant life. And we take this as a base lesson out of John chapter 10. And there within a parable, he states there that in the last part of verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. You know, as we introduced a lesson last week, we talk about and look in our lives, all the things that influence our life, have impact on our life, and what we do in our life, and what brings joy in our life, and where we spend our time. And despite all the things we do in this world, there are things that give us an abundant life that Jesus talks about here. And last week's lesson was the assurance that we have in God. And many points, and I thought very valid points and very encouraging points for us to know and understand about our God and who He is. Today's lesson, I want to talk about being prepared for success. We are a people prepared for success so that we can live an abundant life. And so what in this lesson I want us to take a look at are what things has God done for us that prepares us for success. What has He done to prepare us for success so we can live that abundant life upon this earth? My first thought is that God has revealed His will for us. His holy, inspired Word of God is revealed for us. There's no guessing. We don't have to look back at a few cryptic manuscripts are scattered throughout a world. We have hundreds and thousands of manuscripts of text that from the holy inspired Word of God, from holy writers, inspired writers who wrote these things down, inspired of God, and have left those things for us. Peter affirms that for us in his writing in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Reading there, according to His divine power, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge, the knowledge of His Word. That's the only way we can know know the mind of God is He reveals it for us. And He's revealed it in His Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16, a passage we probably most of us have memorized. And I do to a certain extent, but I'm going to butcher it, I tell already. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what the holy will of God will do. It prepares us, He has prepared us for success by giving us His will, by giving us His Word, by telling us what is the best way to live, to tell us what righteousness is. We don't have to guess when we look at God's Word, are the ungodly living the abundant life, or are we living the abundant life? If we're living according to His revealed Word, we are living the abundant life. And we can have faith and know that. And that though the times and things of the world and sin may tempt us, those things do not lead to the abundant life. And so many people chase those things. They chase even things that are not sinful. They chase their jobs, our careers, recreation, and whatever it might be. We can chase those things. But those don't lead to the abundant life. The abundant life is found within the pages of this book. And that's why also we're here this morning, to talk and discuss God's Word together, to study together. And maybe in some way learn something new about God's Word we didn't understand. So we have this access and opportunity for abundant life because we have His revealed Word. He has prepared us for success by revealing that to us. He has also prepared us for success because He offers us wisdom. So not only has He given us His Word, He's promised to help us in that regard. And that's James chapter 1. James writer there tells us and asks and instructs us to pray for wisdom. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and does not upbraid, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God will give us wisdom if we ask. So not only has he given us his word, he has offered to give us his wisdom. He has promised us that. He is preparing us for success. He is preparing us for success. He also knows all of us. The omniscience of God implies that, but he knows each and every one of us. In Matthew chapter 10, it says he knows the very heads on our head. Now you think about that, being able to count the hairs on your head and how tedious and how difficult that, God knows that. Not does he just know that for one of us, he knows it for all of us. Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 through 31. I'll read there. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore ye are of more value than the sparrows. Even if a sparrow falls on the ground, God knows that, and whether they don't have souls. He don't keep count. He keeps count of us. He's capable of knowing our hairs. It's not that he cares about how many hairs we do or don't have today. It's that he knows who we are. He knows our situation in life. He knows our struggles. He knows our difficulties. He knows what we need to do to become strengthened, to help us grow and develop and be who we can be. He knows all those things. So he says, fear not. You are more valued than the sparrows. We are much more valued. He has given us our soul and created us and went through all this trouble to reveal his will and have our Savior die on a cross for us. He cares about us. He loves us. And he knows about us. So he has prepared us for success because he knows us. And in knowing us, he also prepares us for the trials, or he gives us trials in life. There are trials in life, whether directly from the influence of God or otherwise, just because of time and chance happen to all men, because they do. Things happen because we live in the world. The world is not perfect. But I think we have to realize as Christians the importance of trials that we endure in this life. These prepare us for success. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 reads, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works endurance. But let endurance have her perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, lacking nothing." The trials of our life, count it all joy. Count it all joy. And I like to exercise. I like to work out a little bit. And I've gone to the gym before, which I don't do very much. But when I've gone to the gym, you see guys there, they're lifting weights. They're doing whatever they do. They do it. And they put so much effort into it. They just love it, right? They have so much joy. Do you think they ever hurt because of that? Probably every day they hurt. Well, that's what life is for us. As we go through trials, it's like the weightlifter, the one person who works out. Yes, our muscles hurt. Yes, we've stressed ourselves. We've pushed ourselves. And it will hurt. But it doesn't mean it's not producing good results. It doesn't mean it's not going to produce the results God wants. We exercise our faith daily. And if we don't have a mountain to climb, we never gain the endurance and the strength to climb the mountain. Our faith will never grow to where it can be. And so thus, when we go through life, and yes, we have difficult times. Yeah, we have trying times. Yeah, we look to our friends and our family. We look to God and the church for assistance during those times. But we can know God is preparing us for success. It may be that particular circumstance is there to help us. It may be. it may be that it's there to help us. And so the difficult times in life, we know what to, how to deal with them. And we know that they're not the end, that we can come out of it stronger. So that gives us confidence and faith in that regard and encouragement. And maybe even at some point in our life, we realize a joy in it, like those people who work it out every day, religiously, as it were. We can have joy in that. We can find joy in that. But we have to look, because it's not easy when we're going through trials. But we can find joy in that. In 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, it's a very, very similar passage reading there. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if I need be, ye are in heaviness through various temptations, and the trial of your faith being more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found at the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Much more precious than gold. The trials of our faith, much more precious than gold. God has prepared us for success by allowing trials in our life. Not only has He allowed that, and there's a place for that in our life, He also provides chastening of us in our lives. This passage is found in Hebrews chapter 12. Talking there as a father would chastise his children, God chastises us. That's what the Hebrew writer says. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5, starting. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks of you as children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Did you realize the Lord will chasten those he loves? The Lord will chasten his children as a father chastens his children. As we corrected our children in our life and made sure they was doing what was right and not doing what was wrong, and punished them when they did what was wrong, and gave them opportunities to grow and develop and learn. But God he gives that same correlation to us as Christians. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom received. Now I tell you what, there's nothing beautiful and feel good about this. This is difficult times. This is painful times. But they're there to help. And as just as our children likely cried or even threw a fit because we punished them for some misdeed that they've done, it could be that difficult for us as well in our adult lives. But Scripture says God is involved in this for His children, for those He loves. God has prepared us for success by chastening us. He has prepared us for success because He will listen to and hear our prayers. What a great privilege it is to be able to talk to our God and Creator. You know, as we live in this world here, the head man in our world right now is Donald Trump. Anybody ever think they could actually have an ear to Donald Trump? You want to go talk to Donald Trump? Can you imagine what it would take to get to actually have access to talk to the President of the United States, to be even be in his presence, shake his hand? But what about a congressman from Oklahoma or Arkansas? What about a senator? I doubt you could even get in contact with one of those. Maybe in our lifetime we might see one or two of them, shake hands with them. God is there every day. Every day God is there. He's listening for us, waiting for us to come to Him in prayer. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Read that passage there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious for anything. Go to God in prayer. Let God know. He'll listen. He is there. He is accessible. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from His children. Let your request be made known unto God. The persistent widow is a great parable, isn't it? The widow who goes before the judge, trying to get her case heard. The whole point of that is God wants to hear from us. Don't be afraid to continue to pray to Him. seeking relief, seeking comfort, seeking help, whatever it may be, let your request be made known to God. We don't have to turn to that passage, but I think we know that parable well in Luke 18. God will listen to us. How much looking in our life as a judge would hear the pleading of a widow that would not let him go? He would go ahead out of just the pure nagging part of that, go ahead and address her problems. How much more so, as that parable says, would God help those who he loves? And so that being the case, we can go to God. And now, and it may be that there comes a time when we must end our prayer for something. In this particular case, I use Paul as an example. There comes a point in time where we have to move on. Paul was told that, and obviously directly by the Holy Spirit in this case, but nonetheless, it's still an example for us to learn and to know of. Now, he prayed for the thorn in the flesh. Three times it said he prayed. And Jesus said in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made complete in weakness." And then Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, necessities, and persecutions, and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And that makes the whole thing about the trials in life a whole different perspective, doesn't it? But Paul goes to God and goes and prays to him, and Jesus responds to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." And therefore, Paul lived with his infirmity. So he's not going to answer every prayer, yes. But he will answer. He will hear us. So what great comfort it is. He has prepared us for success because he has given us access to him. He's given us his ear. He will listen to us. He cares about us. He loves us. And he will hear our prayers. He has prepared us for success because he has conquered our enemies. He has subdued our enemies. The word I've chosen to use in the presentation this morning. The idea is our enemy is not utterly destroyed and removed from the scene. Our enemy is still active. But he has been conquered. He has been conquered. Hebrews 2:14. Understanding who our enemy is very, very important. Hebrews 2, chapter verse 14 through 16. "For as much then as children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same," this is talking about Jesus, "that through death he might destroy him that hath power over death," that is the devil. "That through death he might destroy him that hath power of death," that is the devil. Through Jesus' death, he overcame the devil. He conquered the devil because he was resurrected. His shoulder is life eternal. Satan does not have ultimate complete power over us. Jesus has shown he can overcome and has overcome. "And delivered them," Jesus did, "who feared death and were subject to bondage." He's delivered us who would fear death. He has conquered our enemy. He has subdued our enemy, maybe the right word to say there. There is a hope in the resurrection of Jesus. We know that there is life beyond what we see here today. We've been promised that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, reading there. We read the verses following this a minute ago about the trials. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." He conquered death and gave us a hope by his resurrection. He's prepared us for success. He's given us the hope to know that there's something after this life. We don't have to wallow in this world and be consumed by this world. He's conquered this. And we know that there's something waiting for us, something better waiting for us. 1 Corinthians 15, talking about the resurrection, that entire chapter, verses 24 through 27, says the last enemy to be destroyed will be death. The last enemy will be destroyed. And that last day, when judgment call is made, the dead will rise from their graves. And death will finally be destroyed for forever. We will all live eternally. We will all live eternally. You might still be in the Hebrews passage. God has prepared us for success by giving us a mediator. There's two things about this mediator that are important as we look at these passages. One of the things is that he is merciful because he has made in our same image. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 through 18, Jesus took not on the nature of angels, but he took on the nature of Abraham, made after man. Therefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, made just like us, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He might be a merciful and faithful high priest. He has prepared us for success by giving us our Savior, by mediator. Made like us, lived upon this in this world, and endured all that he endured, so he can be a merciful and a faithful high priest. He's provided us a mediator so we can be successful. Next page over my Bible, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Seeing we have a great high priest that's passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings or infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Tempted in all ways like we are, but he did not sin. He was tested. He was tried. He knows how to mediate for us. He can stand before God and sympathize with us, and that's the point. So God has prepared us for success by providing us a mediator. And finally, the last point is, he's prepared us for success by giving us hope that we can overcome. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, passage we referenced a few times lately, we will have a way of escape. God will give us a way of escape from trials and tests in life. It reads there, there hath no temptation taken you, but what is common to man. All of us endure temptation. All of us endure trials. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tested above what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He will make a way of escape. He's prepared us for success by limiting Satan, by not allowing Satan to have reign over our bodies, by giving us a way of escape. Satan can't force us to do anything. Satan is more powerful than us. But Satan cannot make us do anything. God will give us a way of escape. He'll give us that exit door to leave so we don't have to fail our God. We're also told by James, resist the devil and what? He will flee you. We have power over Satan. We have some power over Satan. We can overcome. And then Ephesians chapter 6, 11 and 12, they're talking about the whole armor of God. Paul writes there, put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles. And he's prepared us for success by giving us this armor of God. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it goes down through there and talks about the whole armor of God, what that consists of. God has prepared us for success. He has prepared us for success. He has revealed his word to us so we can know, we don't have to guess. It is abundantly clear what has been left for us, what is needed for us to do, the life that we should live. He has offered us wisdom to help us. He takes time and effort to know about us, the very hedge of our head. He knows who we are. He knows our situations in life. He knows our difficulties. He provides trials and tests for us so that we become stronger and become who we can be. He gives us those opportunities. He gives us and puts those opportunities in front of us. He chastens us as a father, as his child. He listens to our prayer and will listen to our prayer. And he knows the sparrows when they fall, as it says. How much more so will he know and be aware of us? He has conquered our enemies and subdued our enemies, put them in their place so they do not have reign over us. He has provided us with a mediator, a go-between, a lawyer, if you will, to help plead our case to him on our behalf. He prepared us for success because we can overcome. He's made it so we can overcome. You know, Romans 8 gives a great reading there from Paul on how we can overcome. Just you see this incredible faith that we see in Paul. He reads, well, first thing he says, verse 28 of Romans 8, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. And he goes on down and dealing with that. He says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can overcome. If you stumble along the way in your life and need to make correction this day, we ask that you make those wishes known to get your life back on course, to have to be right in the eyes of God, to be right in the church. If you've not been baptized, we ask you this very morning to make your confession, be baptized, have your sins washed away, so we're all right with God, that we can all stand before God if He would come this very day. Stand before Him and be right, be righteous before Him. So if any way you're subject to our gospel's call this morning, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?